The Green Valley News for Monday, January 12th, here at Sun Sounds of Arizona. Mark DeGroft with you. Every month, Santa Rita Fire District crews get together to train with their regional partners in order to prepare for various scenarios. This week, the crews spent 3 days at the Titan Missile Museum with their colleagues from Drexel Heights, Rincon Valley, Pascua-Yaqui, Rio Rico, Tucson Fire, Rural Metro, Northwest Fire, Golder Ranch Fire, Tohonto O'odham Fire, and Banner Physician 1 team. Acting Battalion Chief Luke Chirart said that the Southern Arizona Regional Technical Rescue Team practiced elevated ropic rescues in the historic 146-foot missile silo using two dummies that they had placed in the bottom. The skills could come into play should they have to perform rescues in other confined spaces, such as mines or underground electrical vaults, he said. But probably the most beneficial aspect of it is that we're getting together with our regional partners and practicing on a regional basis so that when we do have a call, we can work together, Chirart said. We've already built that foundation. We know each other. We know each other's equipment. And we're not going to argue about which systems we use or who's in command or control. It's all just very seamless because we do this all the time and we practice together. Chirart said that the crews are appreciative of the museum for giving them the opportunity. Midweek showers fared well, with the area officially receiving about an inch of rain during the midweek showers that brought needed moisture into the Tucson metro area. Pima County Regional Flood Control District data reported that Green Valley received 0.03 to 1 inch and 2,600 inches of rainfall from Quail Creek Crossing Boulevard to Elephant Head Road, with both gauges intersecting at the Santa Cruz River. There are no known gauges in Suarita, but gauges in Summit just north of the town recorded just over 9/10 of an inch. Flood control reported 4/100 to nearly 1 inch of rain throughout Tucson, with gauges in the Rock Catalina Mountains and Saguaro National Forest recording 1 to nearly 2 inches of rain. The National Weather Service in Tucson also issued a freeze warning Friday for the Tucson metro area, which includes Green Valley, south all the way to Nogales. The warning expired Saturday morning with lows ranging from 25 to 32 degrees. Weather Service Tucson expects temperatures to begin warming back up, with the forecast calling for low 70s for the highs from Tuesday through Thursday, but the Weather Service also anticipates lows remaining in the 30s. Weather Service Tucson's 7-day forecast on Friday expects clear skies and no rain for the entire week. This is an update to an earlier story. State Superintendent of Public Instruction Tom Horn changed his tune on a Trump-induced visa processing fee in statements to the Nogales International on Friday, saying he supports the fee and that there had been a misunderstanding. The $100,000 fee recently imposed on new H-1B visa applications will make recruiting and hiring international teachers much more difficult for Arizona schools, superintendents, including Elgin School's Dan Derrickson, have said. During a visit to that school on Tuesday, Horn told Erickson and reporters that he opposed the fee. Following that decision, Horn approached a Nogales International reporter and asked that he not publish his remarks in opposition to the policy, saying that he would be screwed if Trump were to endorse his primary challenger, State Treasurer Kimberly Yee. A story on Horn's remarks was published Tuesday by the Nogales International and republished by several other news organizations. On Friday, Horn sent an email letter to the editor to the NI seeking to clarify his statements. "It was a big misunderstanding," he wrote. "The principal at the school I was visiting in Santa Cruz County to recognize an academic success at that school spoke as though all foreign teachers were here on an H-1B visa. My comment was prompted by the knowledge of our critical teacher shortage and the need for foreign teachers. When I got back to my office, I checked and found that almost all foreign teachers are here on J-1 and Q-1 visas, which can be seen on our website. These are not subject to the same financial burdens as H-1B," Horn continued. I apologize for my misstatement. I enthusiastically support all of Trump's policies on education and am doing everything I can to implement them here in Arizona. Reached on Friday, Erickson said he disagreed with that characterization of his remarks. All I can say to anyone is what I know about our teachers, he said. Elgin School has two teachers on H-1B visas and none on other visas, such as J-1S or Q-1s. I was really, really disappointed about what he said in regards to Trump, Erickson said. That's disheartening. That means he approves of the dismantling of the Department of Education. Those things are bad for education. Statewide, it's unclear how many teachers work on H-1B visas versus J-1 and Q-1 visas. The Arizona Department of Education's guidance page only recommends J-1s and Q-1s, said Horn on Friday, that almost all international teachers have those visas, though he didn't have the figures. In 2025, Arizona K-12 schools requested 130 H-1B visa approvals, according to data from the National Education Association. H-1B visas differ from J-1s and Q-1s in that teachers can pursue a path to permanent residency while working on them, whereas with the other types, they're required to return to their home country. Horn acknowledged in a phone call on Friday that the $100,000 fee is too steep for school districts and that Arizona does have a teacher shortage, a crisis, and depends on international teachers. But he said, teachers that want to come here can use the others. Erickson said that in his previous post as superintendent of Bowie School District, he had three teachers working on J-1 visas out of six teachers overall. When their visas expired at the end of 5 years, they were required to return to their home countries, and recruiting to replace half the district teachers in a small, remote district proved extremely difficult. My preference would always be an H-1B, Erickson said. I want them to be able to stay as long as they want. We can disagree, that's fine, he added, referring to Horn. He's not my boss, and I'm not his boss. The leadership group at Roadhill Cinemas is just weeks from submitting the architect's plans for the former Desert Sky 6 cinema to the town of Suaritas Community Development Department. Once the town signs off on the plans, work on the 18,000-square-foot theater will begin in earnest, said Scott Castle, who is part owner. They anticipate spending $1.5 million to offer moviegoers the same experience as their theaters in Tucson and in Colorado Springs. The theater will feature luxury recliners, chef-driven food, full bar including local craft beers, their Roadhouse Gourmet White Popcorns, keg root beer, gelato, and push-button seatside service. Castle said he hopes to have the theater open by the end of summer. Steve Fortunato, Roadhouse Cinema's food and beverage director and executive chef, has been working on the architect and Parnoder Josh Schneider on the plans since November. The current concession stand will be torn out, walls will come down so they can install a full bar and a commercial kitchen. What is now the office will become a prep kitchen, Fortunato said. The lobby is going to see the biggest transformation in the entire building, he said. The entrance is staying, and we're going to put a patio out there for some outdoor seating. We have a roll-up door so people can go in and out, and then we'll have some indoor seating in here. People want to sit inside because who wants to sit outside in the summer? Then there will be seating at the bar as well. Castle said they need every square inch of the first floor for operations, so the office will be moving upstairs. This is the smallest roadhouse that we will have, and it being smaller does not necessarily make things easier, Fortunato said. Smaller makes things a little bit more challenging, but it's a fun challenge. I really think the community is going to enjoy what we've got coming. Despite the smaller footprint, there will be something for everybody, Fortunato said. They will also be replacing the roof and flooring and upgrading the theater's plumbing, gas, and electrical systems, Castle said. Each of the theater's six auditoriums will be outfitted with bigger screens, and instead of digital projectors, they'll be purchasing state-of-the-art laser projectors with 7.1 digital surround sound, Castle said. They'll likely begin to hire 75 to 80 employees in June or July, Castle said. They hire more employees than a traditional theater because they essentially have one kitchen, but seven restaurants when one counts the number of auditoriums, plus the lobby, he said. There will be a lot of people coming from Tucson to train, and we've had a number of employees that actually live here or live in Suarita that want to transfer, and they're very excited about it, Castle said. The theater's location will allow them to cater to the retirees in Green Valley and the families in Suarita. And while thousands of movie screens have gone dark in the last 5 years, Roadhouse Cinemas has been doing well because they offer a dining theater concept, Castle said. People were predicting the death of movie theaters when VHS tapes came out, and the founder of AMC Theaters, Stan Durwood, dispelled that idea, Castle said. His response was, "You can cook at home, but you still go out to eat. It's because you want to go out," Castle said. "When you're watching movies with a group of people, you enjoy it more. Everybody laughs out loud. You laugh out loud. If you're watching a scary movie, you might jump. But if you're watching a scary movie with a bunch of people, it's like riding a roller coaster and everybody screams. Then it's just getting out. Do you really want to stay home on a Friday night and Saturday night? People just like to get out." The designs, which are about 90% completed, will likely be with the town by the end of February, Fortunato said. Ideally, the town will recommend any changes within 2 weeks of their receipt. The same contractors they've used for all of the other projects are just waiting in the wings, Castle said. And taking a look at travels with two sisters, wandering across the state line, visiting New Mexico's Ghost Ranch. It's written by Midge LeMay and Sue Poirier, special to the Green Valley News. Since we started writing travel articles in March of 2020, we have always written about our adventures in our adopted state of Arizona. We broke the tradition, however, when we submitted an article on our Death Valley trip in November of 2024. Since the article appeared, we have had dozens of readers complimenting us on the article and have been asking numerous questions such as, how many other states have you explored in the last 14 years? Have you gone to Mexico? Do you have any other out-of-state trips planned? Due to the overwhelming response, we will on occasion submit an article on some of our trips beyond the Arizona border. And here is one of our adventures. On our 21-month cross-country journey, we visited some Georgia O'Keeffe sites including the National Women's Hall of Fame in Seneca, New York, and the Georgia O'Keeffe Museum in Santa Fe, New Mexico, where we watched a video depicting her life and spent time viewing dozens of her art pieces. We were captivated with her art, purchased some of her prints at the museum, and were looking forward to exploring the Ghost Ranch in Abiquí, New Mexico. On our third day in the Santa Fe, however, something unexpected happened. It snowed. We were unsure of the terrain in the northern part of the state, so we headed south and never had the opportunity to see the Ghost Ranch. In 2010, when we made the decision to become permanent residents of Arizona, visiting the Ghost Ranch was still on our list of places to see. In 2018, the decision was made, we're heading to New Mexico to see some of the places on our list. We developed an itinerary, and off we went across the state line. Our first stop on our journey was Hatch, New Mexico, a small town with a population of fewer than 1,500 residents that is famous for its green chili peppers and its annual chili festival. We ate lunch at Sparky's Burgers, wandered through the chili markets, chatted with residents, strolled through the downtown area, and took pictures of the huge pink pig, the KFC bucket, the Tin Man, the Statue of Liberty, and several other huge items. Oh, almost forgot to tell you that we also had our picture taken at Sparky's. Our second stop on our journey, Otobe Crossing. We are avid readers and, since our arrival to the Southwest, have read numerous books about the history of the area. Two of the books we cherish were The Women at Otobe Crossing by Frank Waters and In the Shadow of Los Alamos, Selected Writings of Edith Warner. Through our readings, we became acquainted with Warner, who ran a tea room at the base of Los Alamos. She was approached in 1943 by J. Robert Oppenheimer about hosting dinners in her restaurant for the scientists and their families who worked at Los Alamos. she began feeding and entertaining some of the best-known scientists of her time. This request changed her life and propelled her into the history books. During our visit to the site, we explored the remaining four buildings, including Warner's residence and diner. Two other smaller structures were also noted on the premises. We walked up to the fence and took photos of all the remnants of the past. We walked toward the river to get a view of the Rio Grande and were able to get photos of the historic Otowi Suspension Bridge. What a privilege to be able to explore the Otowi Historic District that is listed on the National Register of Historic Places. Those of you who know us already know what we did when we left Otowi Crossing. We were so close to one of the largest science and technology institutions in the world, whose current projects reportedly include national security, nuclear fission, renewable energy, medicine, and space exploration. Yes, we drove to the top of the mesa towards Los Alamos. What did we see? A fence and a gatehouse. Another site on our list of things to see was the Zuni Pueblos, located west of Albuquerque, along the New Mexico-Arizona border. Our goal was to explore the two pueblos, Awiku and the Middle Village. On that day, we took a walking tour through both areas with a Zuni elder, marveled at the amount of pot jars that were left, and the mounds that were evidence of previous habitation. It was a privilege and an honor to have the opportunity to walk through the area where the Spanish made the first contact with the Zuni people in 1540 and to hear the history of the Zuni people. One day we were driving along, chatting about the great weather, the beautiful scenery, and then all of a sudden, Gypsy pulled over to the side of the road. We looked at each other and asked the question, "What was that?" We turned around and went back to explore the site. Upon exiting the vehicle, we headed to the wooden sign that read, "Welcome, Santa Rosa de Lima. Please respect this holy place built in 1734 by Españoles." We wandered around the site, were impressed with the amount and condition of the adobe ruins, took photos of the site, and admired the surrounding beauty that including a flowing river, cottonwood trees, green grass, and brilliant white cliffs off in the distance. We're always grateful when we have the opportunity to spend some time walking through history. In this case, we had the honor of strolling through the remains of the last remaining structures of a Spanish settlement that existed in this area. The ruins of the old adobe structure are listed on the National Register of Historic Places. Approaching Abiqui, we knew we were getting close to the Ghost Ranch, a site we had been wanting to explore for a very long time. Heading north on Route 84, it didn't take us long to encounter the beauty of the area. A mixture of red, orange, pink, and white cliffs were everywhere. The rock formations, mixed with the green shrubs and the bright blue sky, created a breathtaking landscape. Soon we spotted the Ibiquiú Reservoir and knew the entrance to the ranch was near. And all of a sudden, there it was, a beautiful metal sign that says, "Ghost Ranch, welcome." We couldn't believe it. After 10 years of seeing the Ghost Ranch on our to-do list, we were finally here. We were excited to have the opportunity to spend time in a place that has a long history, which includes Spanish land grant, Mexican, French, and Anglo colonizations, a rough-and-tumble ranching period, several owners, a dude ranch, a conference center, and the longtime residence and subject of her paintings of Georgia O'Keeffe. Today, this ranch attracts adventurers, geologists, artists, photographers, and nature lovers, all of whom were attracted by the history and the stunning beauty of the area. Driving up the gravel road to the 21,000-acre ranch that's nestled amidst the breathtaking red and yellow cliffs, we had no idea how much we would learn in the next 48 hours. Finally, we arrived at our destination, a canyon with multi-covered cliffs, a large grass area with a herd of sheep grazing, and a mixture of original and new buildings. We located the Welcome Center, collected our meal tickets, maps, ranch information, and headed to our casita, Cedar 2. Our casita was one of the original structures built in the 1930s. Sitting atop a little hill, the L-shaped cabin had a sitting area that offered us an exceptional view of the colored cliffs, the grass areas and where the sheep were grazing, the same grass where the Charles Lindbergh would land his plane when he visited the ranch, and the blue wooden chairs strategically located to provide shading sitting areas for its guests. We unpacked our fit backpacks, familiarized ourselves with our living space, and off we went to explore our surroundings. We walked around the premises feeling honored to be walking in the same location where Charles Lindbergh, Oppenheimer, and others once walked, took photos of the multiple structures we encountered, thoroughly enjoyed the peaceful atmosphere, and listened to a wide variety of bird songs. It seemed like we were the only ones there. At dinner time, we headed to the dining room and were totally shocked when we opened the door. The dining room, which holds at least 100 people, was almost full. Where did all these people come from? The arrangement of the tables does not allow isolation. There were a few tables that seated 4 people. Most of the tables seated 10 to 12 people. During mealtimes, we met some very interesting people from a variety of states and shared a lot of laughs. During our stay at the ranch, we also had the opportunity to explore the bookstore, the Ghost Ranch Library, the Ghost House, former residence of Arthur and Phoebe Pack, the Ruth Hall Museum of Paleontology, and Florence Holly Mills Ellis Museum of Anthropology. On our second day, we were up early and headed to the visitor center. We were registered for the Wednesdays with the O'Keefe tour. Off we went with our tour guides to Abiquiu, a census-designated place with a population of fewer than 200 residents. And during our tour, we learned about the history of Georgia O'Keefe, toured her well-maintained final home and studio, and from her bedroom window had the opportunity to view the cottonwood trees that she had painted. We have a print of them hanging on our bedroom wall. For lunch, we returned to the Ghost Ranch and then left for our adventure into a restricted part of that ranch. That afternoon, we had the occasion to visit Georgia O'Keefe's longtime residence and had the opportunity to see with our own eyes the scenes and actual locations of her paintings. Our tour guide had prints of her paintings, and we stopped several times so we could actually see the actual site. On one of the stops, we had the opportunity to stand near Gerald's tree. A print of that painting also hangs on our bedroom wall. On that day, we could see Pedernal, the mountain where Georgia O'Keefe's ashes were scattered. We paid our respects to a renowned artist. When we left the ranch after 2 days of exploration, we were better informed, we were relaxed and energized. This is definitely a place of beauty, dreams, magic, rest, and peace, an adventure that will remain with us forever. For those wanderers who may be interested to venture this part of New Mexico, there's a new site to explore. The day we left Abiquiu in 2018, the O'Keefe Visitor Center was having its grand opening. Additional information for our local readers. Driving down Miracle Mile in Tucson, we are sure that many of you have spotted the Ghost Ranch Lodge and Restaurant sign. This facility was built in 1941 by Arthur Pack, one of the former owners of the Ghost Ranch in New Mexico. O'Keefe gave Pack permission to use her logo. And lately, a lady named Lynn asked if we had gone to Pietown, New Mexico. We searched through our pictures of New Mexico, and we regret to say we have not visited that site. It has been added to a new list of places to see in New Mexico. And taking a look at the public safety log beginning on January 4th, Santa Rita Fire District crews and Sorita Police responded to a home in the 800 block of West Villa de Gaya on a medical call. The woman was given Narcan and taken to a Tucson hospital. Sorita Police received a call from a man who said his intoxicated girlfriend was throwing things. When officers arrived, they were told the woman grabbed a Christmas tree for balance. It tipped over and broke ornaments belonging only to her. The couple was told to remain separated for the night. Sorita Police are investigating after an unknown man grabbed the phone of a teenager who'd just gotten off work from a business in the 15,000 block of South Rancho Sorita Boulevard. A 26-year-old Sorita man was arrested and booked into the Pima County Jail on suspicion of second-degree burglary and criminal damage after he had been caught inside a house on church property on South La Cañada Drive and admitted that he had broken in the morning before, eaten some food, and used the utilities. He told police His intuition told him it was okay to be inside for 3 days. On January 5th, a North Los Olmos resident called the Pima County Sheriff's Department at 1:40 in the morning after hearing loud thumps in the alley. Deputies found javelinas. A Green Valley woman called the Sheriff's Department because her husband hadn't made it into work and was 24 minutes late, and the GPS showed him stationary for 40 minutes. She said he had no major medical or mental conditions. The deputies found him, and he was fine. A Caterpillar supervisor called the Sheriff's Department because they suspected an employee had just left work and was driving drunk or high on drugs. Deputies went to the employee's home, but no arrests were made. A Green Valley resident called the Sheriff's Department to report almost being scammed. They'd received a call from Apple saying their account had been compromised, and they were transferred to the Federal Trade Commission. The FTC told the caller to empty their account and deposit it into Bitcoin. Recognizing the scam, he refused. The Sheriff's Department received a report that a community mailbox at South Avenida Dos and West Camino del Yaca had been broken into. And the department received a report that a man in his 40s had exposed himself to two employees of the Dollar General store on South Nogales Highway. He fled before deputies arrived. A caller lost her Apple Watch at a local gas station and tracked it to a house nearby. The residents denied having it. A Green Valley resident called the Sheriff's Department to report her roommate wouldn't let her into the home because she wouldn't have sex with him. Deputies responded to the landlord-tenant dispute and kept the peace. Walden Grove Assistant Principal Creston Elkert, athletic trainer Natosha Sand, and a community member came to the aid of an AIA official who went into cardiac arrest during a soccer game. He was taken to the hospital by Santa Rita Fire District crews. A West Calle Calca resident called Sorita Police to report their water pipes and water meter had been vandalized. Officers found insufficient evidence to corroborate that a crime had actually occurred. A 45-year-old Tucson man was pulled over for driving while talking on his cell phone. He was arrested and booked into the Pima County Jail on an outstanding felony warrant. And a child was cited for assault by a school resource officer following an incident on South Rancho Sorita Boulevard. Another child was cited after being caught in possession of a marijuana vape device on South Sorita Park Road. And somebody called Sorita Police from a parking lot on West Duval Mine Road after another motorist blocked him in and demanded to see his handicap parking placard because he was parked in a handicapped spot. Because the caller didn't believe the motorist was a police officer or associated with any nearby businesses, he refused. The motorist eventually left. And a bicyclist sustained non-life-threatening injuries after a collision with a sedan at La Cañada Drive at Cactus Loop shortly after 7 a.m. on January 6th. And that is the Green Valley News for Monday. Mark DeGroft with you. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned to Sun Sounds for more programming. I'll be back on Wednesday. Till then, take care.